The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk, episode number 93. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com to stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that we have going on. This week, super excited to have Matt Vincent, the Drift of Lifter, with us. Matt is a professional strength athlete. He is a champion Highlands Game athlete, and he's got a great show. It's called The Drift of Lifta, and he travels around the world and competes and brings everybody along for the trip and talks shop and gets in with, seeks experts out around the world and the country to learn from, just to make himself a better athlete. And so we get into a little bit about the story behind the show, the web show, and when he goes into these different places, how he's able to break down egos and talk philosophies and get on the same page, despite having maybe a different philosophy walking in, And so it's a really good episode for young strength coaches in general, just to, to learn to be able to open their minds and be able to have conversations and dialogue with just about anybody in the field. He's one of the best at it, and so I'm excited to have him on the show and share his story with everybody. Before we get started, I want to make sure we recognize all our sponsors: PlayUSA, Ignition APG, Elite Form, and then of course Sorinex. Sorinex is just unbelievable company, doing some fantastic things for the community right now. But one of the best things that they do every year, they put on for at least the last 8 years now, the Summer Strong event, and they got it set up this year. They moved the date. They have it set up this year to be taking place on the campus of South Carolina, and just a fantastic place for to host an event. But it started as a birthday party. It's going to be May 29th this year, going through the weekend. It's just a whole expo of different events going on, strength events, clinics. So who's who of coaches and athletes that are there, and what I love about what Bert does and the rest of the gang there at Sorinex is that they bring in people that just, it's not just another person to teach you the start or how to bench more. They're bringing in people like Jeff Nichols, a former Navy SEAL that's gotten into performance, and bringing people, great Olympian athletes in to talk shop. Because when you really fully understand why athletes do what they do, and you're able to learn from them and learn from each other, it takes you to a whole nother level. And so I cannot encourage you enough. Go to SummerStrongExpo.com, register for this year's conference expo, and there's no doubt about it, you're going to have a fantastic weekend and walk out a better strength coach than when you showed up. Lastly, for everybody that's a young strength coach, just get in the field, or maybe you're in a situation where you don't have a good huge network of coaches to build off of. Strength Coach Basic Training is a product that created some years back, and it's basically the lecture series that we take our interns through. We've had a lot of success with placing different coaches, it's led to some great careers, and so we created this community for coaches to be able to come, watch the videos, interact, get feedback from me, but then turn around and interact with each other. And so you can go through, it's a private Facebook group. Once you sign up, we put you in the group. You're able to come, you know, over to the About section and watch all the different checkpoints. We have several bonuses that you can check out as well. And what the best part about it is that there's, I mean, right now there's over 165 members in it. You know, and so you go from instantly having maybe one or two in your network to 165 strong. And so great product, great feedback I'm getting from people that are in the program. So I'd encourage you to check that out. Sit back, enjoy this episode. Know you're going to get a ton out of Matt, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have Matt Vincent with us, a.k.a. the Drifta Lifta. And, I just got turned on to Matt, and he's got a show, the Drifta Lifta, and the website and the whole deal. But, I've watched the show once, and I've been reading some of the stuff, and I already feel like I know you, man. So appreciate you coming on the show.
Happy to be here, man. Always excited to talk shop with guys that know that are in the know.
Yes, sir. I want to get into your journey a little bit. I know you don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but you know, it's a unique story. You know, and your Highlands game athlete and champion and the whole deal. So, kind of why you got into kind of strength and conditioning and competing and kind of where how the journey's been.
You know, just like any other kid in our country, you know, you basically start lifting and kind of right before high school, getting ready to play sports, and I knew I was going to do that. Really always loved the weight room. And so, you know, also loved what I got out of the weight room, that I could see a direct correlation with the amount of effort I put in there. I got, you know, more benefit as an athlete in the sport I was competing in. So played a little bit of football, did some track in high school, and wasn't very good at football. People weren't exactly recruiting a 6-foot, 230-pound offensive lineman. So I was a much better track athlete, got lucky, and made my way onto LSU's track team as an invited walk-on, and then earned a scholarship and through there for a couple of years, through wow. there for my whole time in college.
Yeah.
And then after that, kind of got out of lifting for a couple of years and opened a bicycle shop, and then eventually got out of that and back into a real job. And then back to lifting, and then started Strongman and did 4 years there. I had some moderate success at it. I didn't particularly like being 320 pounds. And in that game, you've got to have
right
mass. You've got to have some size behind you. And so did some powerlifting with Gary Frank down here in Louisiana. I got lucky that he's real close to me and was able to go train with them, learned a lot from them, and did a Highland game and decided I don't understand why I'm doing the other thing. So stuck with it, and it was everything I loved about throwing in college and none of the bullshit. I don't have to deal with a coach or go to class or do any of that. I can kind of mind my own business and stick with it.
That's fantastic. And it's kind of led, you know, to this really cool journey on the story of the Drifta Lifta. And, you know, we're, as strength coaches, we're kind of all vagabonds, right? We're kind of all go all over
sure.
the place. And you kind of you pick up your life and you go different places and you have to interact and kind of position yourself quickly. And you've been able to do that kind of using the sport as a platform, but to turn around and leverage that to make some fantastic relationships with some fantastic coaches around the world, you know. And talk a little bit about the story about Drifta Lifta and how that came to be.
So it all started while I was powerlifting and kind of got my first, first real job and started doing some outside sales for this company I was working for. And so I was traveling an awful lot and still wanting to train on the road. And so I was reading a lot of things and following a program here and there, 531 or something else, like a great beginner program was, and loved it. And, you know, got tired basically of reading articles from people and decided, like, well, shit, I'm on the road. I'll just reach out and contact these people and see if I'm welcome. And everyone was.
That's right.
And so, I mean, that got me in the door to go train at, you know, for, I think one of the first places I trained was at Iron Sport with Steve Pulcinella. I happened to be up there for a week for work. And so we hit it off.
That's great.
Sorenex has been awesome. You know, they've always had an open door for me.
Fantastic people.
Yeah, I trained with Mark Bell. I was out in California for work, and so I snuck into super training and trained with the old fat Mark Bell. And then, like I said, Gary Frank, Jim Windler was real welcoming. We'd hit it off at Elite when he was still there and got a chance to train in all those places. And, you know, and the thing I always remember going to those places is, yeah, I came there to learn. I mean, it doesn't do me any good to show up in those gyms and tell those guys what I know.
Right.
It's stupid. I came to them. So, you know, I mean, it's amazing what you can get by on showing up, acting as a novice, and just do what you're told.
Right.
And so you learn a lot of stuff that way. I mean, not all of it's going to be great. Not all of that information is going to apply directly to you, but you can filter that yourself. And so sit there and learn what you can and then apply what works, and whatever doesn't, toss it. And so that's kind of the beginning of that. And so the drift to lift a thing came as I had a training partner working out with me, Mark Christina. And really, really thick New Orleans accent. They kind of sound like they're from, you know, the Bronx or New Jersey. Big, thick A on the end of everything.
Right.
He's like, man, you travel around like that. It's like you'd have drift to lift or something like that. I was like, so it just stuck, and I'd started writing a blog about traveling. And it has since evolved into this. I got kind of a, you know, it's not everyone's got the ability to travel and do the things that I've been able to do. You know, I got really lucky that work has provided that for me. And so I wanted to share those stories. I wanted to start sharing that experience of getting into someone else's gym. Do something you're not comfortable with.
Absolutely.
I mean, hell, I'm not a gymnastics guy, but I spent 45 minutes with, you know, the gymnastics coach at Jesse Burdick's gym at CSA working on how to improve my muscle ups.
Yep.
You know, or what moves. I mean, if she can teach me to do muscle ups correctly, she can teach a 150-pound CrossFitter.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, you know, I just want to learn as much as I can.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched the show, go to drifterlifted.com and watch the show, because if you're, I mean, we're all, you know, meatheads and students of the game and enjoy and love that part of it. And I, you know, it's one of those shows that, I mean, I loved it from jump. And so I'm excited for the second episode. But, you know, we talked a little bit about off camera, a little bit about, you know, kind of this, you know, this, now that you're doing the show, it's great, but it started way back when, and you would go into these gyms and you would act like a novice and you came there to learn. And, you know, you have kind of, I think as strength coaches, sometimes we go into these, you know, we go in and the natural instinct is to try to suck up so you can get a job, right? You know?
Right. I wasn't ever looking for jobs.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, but most of the audience is, you know, and they do that. And it's like all of a sudden you walk out of there and you've been there for 2 hours and you didn't learn anything, you know?
Yep.
You probably have kind of a set checklist of things that when you walk into a gym, you're kind of looking and scoping out and seeing how, you know, that's going to kind of, you know, tell you what about the place, kind of tell you about the people, about the culture, about the training. You know, what are some of the things that you look for when you go into a new environment?
You know, a lot of the gyms I'm in now, it's, you know, there's at least some aspect of it that's going to be following CrossFit.
Sure.
And so, I mean, that's what's paying the bills in a lot of places in the country, and I'm glad more people know what barbell lifts are now than they did 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And that's strictly because of CrossFit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my big deal is to see that people are benching, squatting, deadlifting, push pressing, and some type of an Olympic lift or dynamic. I mean, a lot of guys don't have the mobility to, you know, catch a snatch overhead, and that's a lot of technique work to learn for a single lift.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do a snatch pull. If you can deadlift, you can do a snatch pull.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that stuff and teaching your body those movements are key for any athlete. And so if as long as gyms are doing that, I'm pretty happy. I want to see a squat rack. I want to see a bar. I want to see a bunch of plates. And you know, my setup's not fancy. I train in my garage by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And have for the last 6 years. And, you know, if you can't get it done in a gym with some squat stands, a barbell, plates, and a bench occasionally,
yep,
you've lost the point somehow.
Yep, yep.
The rest is fluffer and filler, and there's some really great tools out there, but you don't fucking need them.
That's right.
So I look for that type of stuff. I like to see not a lot of filler. I don't want to see gyms following different fads or anything like that to come up. You know, some of those get pretty questionable. You know, I got a chance today to go train this morning at the local CrossFit gym, just for a different environment occasionally. And one of the things I really like about that is, I mean, those guys are all willing to learn.
Yeah.
That's a biggest thing I've noticed about the CrossFit crowd. There isn't a lot of ego, and they want to learn from you. And so, you know, why are you standing on a plate doing some deadlifts? I was like, well, because I don't really use my legs a whole lot when I deadlift, and this forces me to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, that's a good idea. I'd like to apply that to my stuff. And so, you know, those things are good. I like to see coaches that actually have some credibility, some lifting to them, some. You know, it bums me out with CrossFit that you can, or, you know, a lot of coaches that I can go take a weekend course and all of a sudden I'm allowed to train people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not certified in anything. I don't like that that's kind of a trend, but I know that there needs to be some type of certification for people to be allowed to work with athletes or people or anyone willing to pay a membership in a gym.
Sure.
But, you know, I hope that it continues to get further away from just a weekend seminar and people trying to add names, but, you know, letters behind their name.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned it earlier, I mean, about the ego part of it. And obviously we're in a very egocentric type of, you know, field and deal with those, you know, people all over the world. And when you deal with that, you've been able to break down a lot of barriers. I mean, maybe that's because, you know, and you've been able, what I like and what we talked about a little bit off camera was, you know, it's like I always say on the show that I'm a principle-based strength coach, not a philosophy-based strength coach. I'm willing to learn from anybody and everybody and challenge my ideals of what I think right and wrong are by having conversations as opposed to not just pounding my chest and saying, this is what I do.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny, but at the top end of stuff, I mean, we're all kind of doing the same thing. And I don't feel that I'm an authority whatsoever on strength training. I'm just really passionate about it, and I want to learn more.
Sure.
If anyone wants to listen, that's great too. I'd love to help in any way I can. But I'm definitely not a guy who thinks, well, this is the way you should train, or this is the way. Man, my stuff's an option, and that's how I look at everyone's program.
Right.
And just because, you know, it's not like it's a little bit shit, and the rest needs to go out with it. I may really like the way your squat setup looks like, but I don't like the way you push press.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just use your squat
bar. Right.
So.
Well, I think what's unique about you is, and this is, you know, it's a good lesson for the strength coaches listening, is like when you have a question, you're not scared to pick up the phone and call somebody or walk into a gym or humble yourself to be like, you know what, I can allow myself to maybe not look my best so that I can learn to get better so that I can become my best, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for being aware of what you're bad at.
No doubt.
And I'm okay with it. That's how you learn. And, you know, the only problem with knowing everything is you can't learn anything.
That's right.
And so I just assume act as though I don't know anything. It's been a much easier route to get to people want to talk to me.
Absolutely. You know, with your success in Highland Games, you've created, you know, you wrote a couple of books, you know, the Training Lab, Strength Lab, kind of expanding on your philosophy of training and what's worked for you, and it's kind of been a culmination of all these different experiences and talking to these different coaches. Talk a little bit about kind of the program that you wrote and what makes it kind of maybe unique from some of the other programs
Sure.
that you see out there.
Early on, between you know, training 531 or stuff like that, you know, I did see a lot of success. I saw a lot of success with, you know, doing the big lifts, and I really, really fully believe in the training max. And that's something, you know, Jim talks about a lot, and that's something I've always felt. And man, I don't always have good days.
Right.
So I'm gonna probably have more bad ones than I do good.
Sure.
Or at least I'm gonna have a hell of a lot more average days. And what the training lab, you know, training max does for me is when I get in the gym, and it's a sub, you know, it's submaximal training for me. So 90% of my max is what I base all my percentages on. I don't ever miss a lift in training. I don't ever get pinned under a squat. As soon as the risk outweighs the reward, what the fuck am I doing? I mean, why would I risk adding 5 more pounds to the bar to go for something that might pin me, you know, or I could drop 10 and hit it for a triple.
Right.
Which one of those makes me stronger at the end of the week?
No
and
doubt.
It's the triple.
No
you
doubt.
Know, it's the more work equals more progress.
No doubt.
And so I really like a block periodization program, especially as an athlete that I have an off season. I've got a, you know, longer season. You know, I don't do just a 16-week block leading up to a meet. I compete about 20 times a year, and so I need an off season where I go back and start fixing the bugs out. So I spend that time. I do 10 weeks of German volume training. That's not for everybody, but I've always responded really well to it. And 10 weeks of 10 by 10, it's guts.
No doubt.
And so, I mean, it sucks. However, the weights aren't real heavy. I don't go over about 65% during that time, and it's building that volume and building that base. If you're a beginner lifter, and you don't quite know what to do with the program, and you're not comfortable squatting and this and that, I'm not going to throw you into 85 or 90%. That's dumb.
Right.
Why don't you spend this first 10 weeks learning to squat? And repetition teaches technique. You know, bad repetition sucks too, but still at the same time.
Sure.
You do 1,000 squats in the first 10 weeks of your workout, you're probably better at squatting than you were when you started.
That's a good point.
And so none of the weights are going to hurt you. You know, 50% is where it starts, and that's 50% of your training max of what you're somewhere 41, 42%.
Right.
So you want to push it, cut your rest time. I mean, I do my 10 weeks at this point now. I try to keep my conditioning on point. I don't waste any more than a minute between sets.
Right.
So I'm pretty gassed at the end of a workout at 50%.
No doubt. Well, progression comes in a lot of forms, right? It's not just throwing more weight on the bar. It's
right.
We're decreasing rest intervals, and it's
yeah,
volume,
a lot of ways to
all those types
progress.
Of things. Absolutely.
So, yeah, did I do this with less pain than last time?
Right.
You know, did the bar move quicker?
Sure.
I mean, all those things matter to me. You can kind of perceive effort, I guess. And so after that, I go into a pretty standard strength block. It's 4 weeks on, 1 week off. And it's five sets of five for the first week, five sets of five for the second week, five sets of three for the third week, and then it's, five singles.
Mm-hmm.
And those singles on your last one, if they all felt great, chase a rep max.
Yep.
But that's after you put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you rebuild your next program based off those maxes off of week four.
Mm.
That way you're constantly, constantly moving up. And if it's a weight that you hit for three last cycle, and this week, you hit it for five, that's stronger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes with training age and being in the gym and fighting through injuries and realizing what works for you. And it's hard to explain that to a new lifter who wants to keep putting that weight on the bar. There is a lot of ego, like you said, that wants to do it. And for me, I don't care anymore. If I'm going to put more weight on the bar and go for a max, it's going to be on the platform at a meet.
Right.
It's going to be go time, and it's going to count.
Yeah. No,
my
that.
Time in the gym that's work.
Well, we face that as strength coaches all the time with those freshmen that come in and they want to lift what the seniors lifting, and
right.
Without building the base or having the proper mobility. And I know that's something that we share with the, with the emphasis on mobility and emphasis on making sure that you stay healthy. As a Highlands Games competitor or power lifter or things like that, that's where a lot of times – I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a competitive powerlifter with a good back past age 40, right?
It comes with the time. And I've always looked at I look at it now. The big thing I recommend to people is that the easiest thing you can do to make progress is never get hurt.
Yeah.
You can keep working. Oh shit! I got 5 pounds extra on the bar, but now I had to sit on my ass for 6 weeks.
Yep.
It's way more going backwards than if you stayed healthy the entire time.
That's right.
And so, catastrophic things are going to happen. There's no way to bulletproof your training to say, I won't get hurt. Tweaks and all that are going to come, but you need to learn how to address those on your own. How to do the mobility, how to do the stretching, how to do, self-massage, I guess, for a lack of a better term.
Right.
With the kettlebell and rollers and all these things that are now available.
Sure.
And widely used. All those things are important. So staying healthy is the biggest key. Especially the older a lifter gets.
Right.
Well, you can throw a lot of dumb shit at a kid who's, 15. between 15 and 19, kids are basically indestructible.
Right.
And, that's probably one of the hardest things I think people will have to deal with is, when I was 15 and we got to high school and we did these sets of 25 and the squats and, we got really strong. I'm like, no shit, you're 15, between
right.
15 and 19. Your body's got more testosterone in it.
Yeah, it's right
than
through
it
years.
Ever will.
Yeah.
And you're going through puberty. Like, basically, you just being alive will double your total endurance.
That's right.
You could never lift and you'll get stronger.
No doubt. Well, you wrote a couple of you know, manuals on mobility. What do you think the trick to mobility is? I mean, or what do you think that people are missing the boat maybe?
You know, what I tried to, you know, there's a lot of great mobility information out there, whether, you know, Kelly Starrett's definitely, as far as my opinion, is at the front of it, as far as getting that information to people and having a consistent message. And so what my program did, you know, was it laid out the exact steps in a program or how to approach, you know, for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to make my hips better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make my low back mobility better. And again, a day-to-day workout with the progression of movements, the same way you would write, you know, a strength program for 5 weeks. You know, it's various exercises for strengthening and stretching and,
right,
rolling on stuff and banded movements. And it did the same for the shoulders and wrote that program as well. Also provided in that one, like, a daily warm-up. Like, here's what you should do every day to get your shoulders going. Here's the order I do it, and that's what, you know, keeps me moving.
Sure. And
the biggest thing people can do mobility-wise is its consistency. People will, oh, you know, shit, my back's tight. This is bothering me. And so they'll spend 3 weeks doing something, and then it starts feeling better, and you stop. And that's human nature, you know.
No doubt.
We have a real good tendency to address things when they're a problem, but not so much when they feel great. And so doing a little bit every day, I mean, you may not need to run through a full, you know, 25 or 30 minutes worth of mobility, but doing something every day is going to make a big difference.
Right, right. Well, it's the apple a day keeps the doctor away, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, buddy, you know, we always end the show with some resources. So what is the best piece of coaching advice that you've ever received?
I can't think of who I got it from. That's really sad. But, you know, one of the things that's always rang true to me is that at the end of the day, none of this fucking matters. You know, and that's a little bit callous. I mean, this is something I love training and I love throwing and I love competing. But this, I don't let this define me.
Right.
You know, I don't hang a bunch of trophies on my walls or do any of that. And so that was one of the big things that I got. You know, so whether I put 5 extra pounds on the bar or I went back and I hit a triple and stayed healthy, it doesn't fucking matter. It's, I do this for me. And that's probably the biggest thing that rang true was, you know, I do this because I love it. And so I don't need everyone to be part of what I'm into. I don't need someone to come train with me. I don't need a t-shirt with a motivational saying on it. I train and I lift hard because that's what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my journey and about me. It's completely selfish.
Right.
You know, and at the same time, it's not the only thing in the world. And so I want to see the world. I want to meet interesting people. I want to eat delicious food. I want to drink great stuff. There's a lot of really passionate people out there in a lot of different fields, and I'm interested in all that.
Right.
You know, I'm attracted to people who love what they do. And that's something that I've always kind of thought about, and I guess that, you know, boils down to kind of the philosophy that my brother and I kind of talked a lot about prior to I started writing, and that's kind of the hate, which is what I've kind of built my little brand on with the HV3 or yeah. HVIII, and that's you know, that spells out hate. And it's about, you know, I'm not comfortable sitting there and accepting my own bullshit. You know, I'm tired today, or I don't feel like lifting, or it's cold in the garage. I mean, there's some poor kid out there who's, you know, whether they're, you know, 18 and been sent off to war and lose a leg, who can't train now.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm going to lay here healthy and fat and make up my own bullshit excuses of why I should get the day off. Fuck that, man. I'm not into accepting any of that. And so
yeah.
Not all days are going to be good. So get in there and just start doing the work.
Yep. That's awesome.
Don't listen to your own bullshit. You know, on days when, you know what you should eat or diet or do what you're supposed to do. I mean, that was a big, you know, motivation finally for me to drop some weight and get a little healthier and be a better athlete. It was, you know, I got tired personally of watching stuff like The Biggest Loser. And I'm like, man, these people that allowed themselves to reach this 400 or 600 pounds, some, you know, giant weight. You mean to tell me that they've got more stick-to-itiveness and more motivation to lose this weight than I can?
Mm-hmm.
I refused to accept that and finally decided, like, well, I'm going to stop eating this bullshit. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to do the right things all the time.
Right.
Tired of being lazy. I'm tired of giving myself an out. You know, tired of the bullshit lie that I tell myself of, well, as a strength athlete, I need to be a certain weight for this to carry on. And look, unless you're not carrying any extra, you know, any extra flab on you or luggage, it's bullshit too. Get healthier.
No doubt.
Fat doesn't contract. It's never going to help you move something faster.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely.
That's something I've, you know, that's rang true a lot for me.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. What about you know, and obviously that's kind of a quote in and of itself, but what about a quote that you have either posted up in your weight room or one that you kind of live by?
I guess it goes to a little bit more of a self-destructive nature. I've actually got it written down so I don't screw it up. And it's one of my favorite quotes, and I guess there's part of me that really appreciates the idea of being a bit of a savage. And, you know, I want to know that push comes to shove. You know, I'm always ready. And, you know, I do love, you know, the comfortable suburban life I built for myself and a nice house and all that. But I still love being on the road for 19 straight hours and having that, you know, gutted out feeling and knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, I like being that man too.
Right.
And, so it's an Arthur Miller quote that I've always liked, and there's another my brother brought up the other day that I'll mention as well. So
awesome.
The Arthur Miller quote is, you know, look, we're all the same. You know, a man's a 14-room house, and in the bedroom he's asleep with his intelligent wife. In the living room he's rolling around with some bare-ass girl. In the library he's paying his taxes. In the yard he's raising tomatoes. And in the cellar he's making a bomb to blow it all up. And I guess, you know, you can take that a lot of different ways, and what I've always looked at it as was, I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to be content with where I'm at. There's always more time to work. There's always time to put in and work harder. There's always more I can do with the time I've got. You know, we're all going to die. That's right. A fact.
Right.
And as of today, I've got one less day on the planet. And so I'm going to make the most of the days I've got left.
Right.
Because I don't know what can happen. Shit, that number of days I got left, maybe two.
Right.
And did I waste today?
Right. No doubt. No, that's fantastic. What about, you know, I see there's a bunch of books behind you there. Give us a book, maybe inside strength and conditioning and outside strength and conditioning that you recommend.
Inside strength and conditioning 531.
Yeah.
That's probably the most influence that anything's had over me, especially I never got into the really early stages with the book stuff of like learning how to squat and stuff like that. So I wanted a program, and Jim's philosophy is really the first thing that rang true, and that's turned into, you know, a really good friendship with Jim and I. I feel very fortunate that I can call and talk to that guy when I need
awesome
to call guy. And talk to someone.
Awesome, yeah.
Outside of training, a lot of stuff. I like Cormac McCarthy stuff. The Road was really, really good. And then I like old horror stuff. The original Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's, you know, awesome. That's just such a flawed character.
No doubt.
You know,
no
there's
doubt.
A lot of stuff like that, or, you know, that, you know, the idea of a monster that you created and, you know, fighting it.
Yeah.
And that's in there. You know, that's in, I think that little bit's in all of us.
No doubt.
You know, it isn't anyone that I'm interested in talking to or hanging out with. That's
sure, sure. Well, what about, you know, and we're going to link up your website and everything, but a website that you recommend people go to, and maybe, I don't know if you use any apps with yourself or any athletes or anything along those lines.
I don't online train. I'm happy to provide free advice where I can to people. I don't particularly like the online training thing, especially since,
yeah,
I don't know why you'd pay me to write you a program when I wrote it all in a book for $25.
Right, right.
Just read that and do it. That's right. What I currently do. If it works for me, it's probably going to be just fine for you. You're not a special snowflake that, you know, squatting on a regular basis isn't going to help.
You're not a special snowflake. I'm going to use that one.
So, you know, as far as, you know, information, man, Mark Bell is pumping out a lot of really great stuff now. So, Super Training, and that website, Super Training TV, has been, there's a lot of good stuff there. Same thing with Mobility Log with Kelly and, you know, the information Jesse puts out.
Yep. That's awesome, man. Well, buddy, like I said, we're just getting a chance to get to know each other, but I really appreciate the opportunity to share and with the audience, and then obviously what you're doing with Drift Alifta putting out. Again, I talk about this on the show all the time. People that put out content and give back, it's a special person because it's not easy, man. It takes some time and it takes some effort and it really
takes money.
Yeah, it takes some money and all those things, you know. And so you have to.
The Drift Alifta series was not cheap.
No doubt. You know, and that's,
I'm very, very happy with the quality of the product we're putting out.
Well, tell everybody, you know, and we'll, like I said, we'll link up the website, but how to stay in touch with you and what you got going on. And
I'm pretty neurotic about answering basically anyone that approaches me for any type of information. So Facebook's really a great way. I've got an athlete page. It's pretty easy to find. Just Matt Vincent. Instagram is Matt So Explosion. And then apparently Matt Vincent's a really popular name on the planet. And I didn't want to be Matt Vincent 486. So
right.
I made up something else and referenced a cartoon on Adult Swim. Twitter, I don't use a whole hell of a lot. But that's Matt So Awesome. Same as, those are great ways to reach me. My website, driftalifta.com, will post my weekly updates to the Drift Alifta series. There's a lot of updates. There's little just the tip things I've got that are kind of a one-off, a little short one thing that you could do type of tip from different athletes and different people. Various things, whether it's going to be throwing, lifting, training, whatever. And then I also have some longer extended coaching series, and then I've got the actual series, and the next episode will be up on January 22nd. So awesome. Pretty excited about that coming out. It'll be a lot with me and Jesse Burdick, and then probably a month or so later, the last episode with Mark Bell will be up, and we shot a lot of content with him, and
great.
Pretty excited about it. So those are the places you can find me and find my stuff.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Ron, thanks a lot. Really enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest as well as our sponsors for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.